Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Come on, man. You know, I am your absolute favorite colonizer.
Maybe. It might be true. Let's
face it. You're at least, what, 50% colonizer as well?
Given my last name is Gomez,
Spanish blood in there, yeah. So.
Not by choice.
Oh, man. Oh man, what a way to start a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, it's gonna be really fun because I have no idea what to talk about. It has been a dry news day, but we'll see. I have something to talk about right after the intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. I'm Kyle, joined by Manny. Make sure you guys hit that red subscribe button if you haven't already. If you're watching us on YouTube, follow us on your favorite podcast app like Google, Spotify, Apple, all of that good stuff. And of course, check out our big website, lrmonline.com, every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions.
I got a topic for you. Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, what's yours? Let me see if I want to slide yours in before mine.
No, so question is whether it is a good idea, given the reports we've heard from different sources, that James Gunn is saying that for DC going forward, their connected universe is not only going to contain television shows, movies, but also video games.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very, should we say, skeptical of the it's all connected mentality, because we've heard it before. We've heard it from Marvel and then seen what they did with stuff like
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Seen it somewhat with DC and what was the Snyderverse, but you know, like I said, I don't know if it'll actually happen. What I do know is that bringing video games, and right now I'm trying to get the story up that Cam wrote covering this. What I do know is that video games are unique. You and I have spoken about it plenty of times. Even if you're playing a named character that exists, like say Gotham Knights or Arkham whatever the frack, you're still your Batman in that case, you know. Or if you're playing an RPG and then you get to name your character whatever you want, you're experiencing it. So I don't know. I highly doubt that anything in video games will be of big consequence to it, but I know bringing in animation is a fine idea. I have no issues with that whatsoever. Animation is a wonderful medium for storytelling. But yeah, the you know, words come straight from Gunn's mouth saying, you know, answering questions on Twitter about, you know, give DC more character TV shows. And he's like, yeah, most definitely DCU will be connected across film, TV, and animation. Someone asks about games being connected, and he says yes as well. So, yeah, these aren't like rumors or half-assed answers from some mid-manager or someone attached to a specific movie. This is co-president, co-CEO, or whatever, James Gunn. I don't know. What do you think about it, man? Are you ready for part of the DCU to be played by games?
Well, the issue I have with it is that unless you're going to make everything in the same kind of, I'd say, level as like a Peacemaker, which looked really good, But then again, Peacemaker doesn't really need that many effects per se. I think budgets are a problem. You're not gonna make the TV shows really look like the movies very well. And just, you remember how hard Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tried to force it down your throat that it was connected, and they would have like
that was time the Marvel's had, fault themselves.
One time they had
sticking it.
Samuel Jackson show for 3 seconds just to prove a point. And obviously,
and Maria was on there as well once, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of like, we've seen it and it doesn't work too well. What did work was doing it your own TV universe, because for years the Arrowverse thrived.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the same budget as the movies, and that was okay because you had interesting enough stories and characters that people really enjoyed. You got names from, like, for example, to play like Captain Cold and Heatwave, right. who were the guys from Prison Break, who they already had that chemistry. And even if they were actors that you didn't necessarily know very well, at least it was an attempt to bring you some of the characters that you weren't going to see on the screen. And and it was fun. Yeah, not everything worked very well, but I mean, even Legends of Tomorrow found a niche audience, yeah. and it was able to stay on for a while. And Gotham is a perfect example, which was almost like everyone knew it wasn't Batman, but the themes and concepts were all there. You enjoyed it for different reasons other than
that. That one still rubbed me, and I know a lot of other people wrong in that they, DC, Warner Television, whoever, had that old Hollywood mentality of people won't be able to tell the difference. So you can't use Joker. No, you can't use, you make up voice mannerisms, like everything. You can't use the name. You cannot use the name. And their fear of putting a Batman in a bat suit on screen outside of the shadow, you know, shadows where you can actually see and interact yeah. with a full Batman on the small screen, which is, funny enough, one of the most popular ways Batman's been consumed when you go back to Adam West and, of course, the animated series. So I blame studios that, one, don't have any faith in their audience's intelligence. However, I will admit the intelligence level is debatable for most of us. But
yeah, this is true.
I do believe that people are honestly capable of it, both enjoying a higher budget film with Batman and Joker at the yeah. same time as enjoying a separated TV. It's just like the HBO Max stuff with Gotham City, the Penguin spinoff, and all of that. If you don't put Batman in it on screen, like having a presence, does it really feel like a Batman property? Because the bat is the same as the spider. His rogues gallery is what they are yeah. because of Batman or Spider-Man. And Spider-Man and Batman are who they are because of their rogues. And if you separate them too much, it doesn't play right. So
Gotham was fine without him.
It was young because it was a young yeah, Batman. Yeah,
but it was a young Bruce. But, you know, the most compelling characters were, like, you know, the Riddler, Penguin, and some of those things,
that could be who they were.
they worked pretty well. Well, even Jerome worked to a certain extent. Like, and they did what they could with what Warner Brothers told them they could or couldn't do.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it worked. And I mean, that's a testament of why it was able to go on for as many seasons as it did. And I thought it was fine, but to the greater point now is you can have a show like Gotham, you could have a show like other shows on the CW as well, and still have movies. And it, like you said, we're smart enough to know that they're different. Or do what they did near the end. Just say, you know, Multiverse in comics solves everything usually,
and causes every
yeah, problem, and it's fine. Like, it's comics. It's not yeah. something we're supposed to take seriously. I understand that they're character traits that we need to always respect, and you know, we need because every different writer, everyone who sees a Superman is going to see, or a Batman, sees different aspects of him that are they're going to want to highlight, whether it's the detective side for Batman, whether it's the kind of goody two shoes of Superman, despite having all those powers, really holds back, and that is part of his power, being able to not control, in other words. Yeah. Because anytime Superman goes out of control, immediate villain.
Right.
I think that we should be able to see different perspectives of the characters. Hell, it's the reason why for a moment we were about to have a bunch of Batman. I mean, Titans had a Batman that they were like showing, not showing. The Batman.
That was my like joke about Batman being in the shadows.
And so it's fine. Nobody cared. But you do have to kind of raise the question of why do we have so many Batman? It's like, well, this Batman's from this multiverse and this Batman's from this multiverse. And then people want to like go like, okay, like this, fine, whatever. Just give me more Batman.
Well, that's... with that multiverse and all of the Batman stuff, you know, I really enjoyed the Batman. I like Pattinson, absolutely. Do you want to see a more cohesive everything falling within one universe, multiverse, where there's just a few outliers or none at all? Or do you want to see would you like to see Batflick and Affleck? Would you like to have both existing in any multiverse, or do you want to see Gunn and company kind of consolidate down as much as possible?
No, I don't mind seeing both, and the reason is it's different style. Like I was saying, different styles of storytelling. Your Ben Affleck Batman is going to be a little bit more comic.
Pattinson, there. Pattinson. Sorry,
your Affleck Batman's going to be a little bit more family friendly, I'd say, if I can put that in air quotes, and a little bit more surface level, while your Pattinson is going to be a little bit deeper, a little bit more methodical, a little bit more detective, as we saw, darker, of course, grittier, and that's okay. That's why there's so many, for example, different titles of Batman in comics. Whether or not you have the budget to do that, of course, that's different. Also depends on what kind of storytelling you're trying to accomplish. Because at this point, the Batman has done so well,
mm-hmm.
you can't ignore it and you can't get rid of it.
Wouldn't want to.
So exactly. I mean, it opens up storytelling like the way that they've treated the Riddler. It makes you really curious, and the Penguin, you know, what can they do with some of these other characters? What, you know, what kind of depth can you find in them? And so many people are like clamoring for like characters that you never think of. Like, they're not asking for the Joker; they're asking for like Hugo Strange or like a Mr. Freeze, because of the possibilities.
Dying for Mr. Freeze for a long, long time, and Riddler, which I was pleased with myself, and I'm not even a big Batman fan at all.
And it's funny because like I know there's, you know, it's not the greatest movie, but even Jim Carrey's Riddler was a good version of the Riddler.
I rather enjoyed his performance alone, combined with the fact that was the first of the Batman revival, if you will. Val Kilmer actually played a detective part. He actually,
the clues
and stuff were very easy and whatnot. It was cheesy as all hell, but they actually took the effort to show him doing detective work more than Burton ever did, although still Burton's Batman, best Batman.
I agree.
So
everyone has their own vision. So if Zaslav and Gunn say this is what we want, what can we really do? And because we just want them to have a plan, and at this point we can't really be mad at whatever they give us. But you've seen some of the characters Gunn has been teasing, and it's really intriguing. Mr. Terrific, and Lobo is another one who's been teasing. Yeah. So he's been very interactive too, as far as like, hey, we're doing this, what do you guys think of this, and whatever, we're getting it together and blah blah blah. But one thing to also keep in mind is to be freaking patient. They're building an entire...
I don't know, man. Looking at the news this morning, the world's pretty close to ending. Do we really have time to be patient?
Look, man, I feel like they want them to go into a meeting today or 3 weeks ago.
And have 12 movies greenlit in production.
I know it's not the same, but Mortal Kombat, the latest version that was very successful, took 7 years to make. So I'm not saying this will take 7 years, but it's just an example of how long a project can linger along. I know they'll have a little bit more urgency with this, but there's already a lot of pieces in play. It looks like Jason Momoa is in still. What he wants to do. Of course, Henry Cavill's in. I'm not sure what they're
much from Gal.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna just say. I'm not sure, but
she's doing the third Wonder Woman. You know, she's at least down for that from Jenkins. But
can we just not let Jenkins do it?
I know, right? Oh my god. Or you got to put someone back. Help! I don't want to use any aggressive like controlling language or anything like that, but you need to put someone back on the like, she's got to clear some things through someone, you know what I'm saying?
It was all just a dream.
She can't have free will and free reign anymore.
That's what it was. 84 was just a dream. Aren't you glad she's not doing Rogue Squadron anymore?
You have no idea.
I'm very excited for it, and I'm not going to be pushy. The fact that they're not getting rid of things like Blue Beetle, you know,
that's a good sign.
It was a good sign. And people who were mad at Batgirl, I was upset about it too.
Yeah, it sucks.
It was a reaction, but
yeah,
they're doing a good job at cleaning house right now. And as you can see, even the house of the mouse has to deal with the same problems.
Yeah, it's got its own.
So like, people can like point
what
at
a mouse?
People can point at like Warner Brothers and laugh at them or whatever, but it's not a singular problem.
No, guys,
I'm very curious for Marvel Studios Phase 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phase 4 is the worst phase that they've
awful
that they've had so far.
Awful.
I mean, yeah, it's really bad. They went over the top. I think they gave too much control to directors, which, if you're gonna do that, you just know who you have.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's why you got things like Thor: Love and Thunder. Which
She-Hulk,
which given
Miss
the
Marvel,
like honestly, like some of those movies, it's funny because like it is kind of a joke, but at the same time a little bit low-key serious. But like Thor: Love and Thunder, I was like, that could have been really well directed by Zack Snyder, because he would have given us an actual god killer. There would have been a lot of god killing going on, and also he would have had a darker tone to Joan Foster, which we needed. And or just another somebody else who's going to take the matter a little bit more seriously and then still be able to sprinkle in some of Tita's fun, because but for now, like, they've like, for me, they totally ruined Thor and everything he went through.
The way some of Chris Hemsworth's comments about the film and stuff make it seem like he feels similar. I thought that Ragnarok was a great part of life for him, or arc, if you will, because he had been exposed to more humans, more Earth stuff, and you know, it would definitely have changed quite a bit. And then what you see going through through Ragnarok, through Infinity War and Endgame, you expected him to go off, have some fun, you know, be more Ragnarok like. That's where he seemed happiest as a character, even though he was surrounded by so much tragedy. He felt comfortable. And then they just completely went too far in one Ragnarok direction.
Yep. Oh, well. I 100% agree. Then just, I don't know, the shows, like, they started off kind of strong, and then I don't know what happened. Like, the tail end of the series, just not good.
No.
Like, give me a reason why I should have cared at all about Hawkeye, Miss Marvel,
wanted to,
She-Hulk,
really wanted to, but
like, and if you go back to, I don't know how many shows that we've done, how many times did we talk about doing exactly what supposedly they were going to do in She-Hulk, which was Matt Murdock and Walters, which was what they teased from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, to us, it all makes sense, because that's the only hook anyone, that's the only hook they
had.
That's
it. And they
kept you, they kept you waiting, and then they lingered it, only for, you know, for like a moment or two. It was just, and then they just delivered a terrible terrible show altogether.
Then
they didn't even bother to finish the show, which is just proof.
But they did finish it, man. Said what she wanted to happen. No, she said the results she wanted, but we didn't get to see how anyone learned their lesson or how any of that happened. And
watched was relevant at all.
Yeah. I still stand by that was never meant to be a gag. I think they honestly didn't know what to freaking do. I don't think they knew how to do that show. I mean, part of all of that kind of informs what I was gonna, you know, BS our way through for the morning. Being tired of Western media for a lot, and I blame a lot of things on some of the big franchises. The obsession. I'm always, not always, because there are times that even I enjoy a good nostalgia trip, as long as it's a these days a deep cut, something that hasn't already been done to death. I do think finally there is, for years people talked about comic book movie burnout. I think that, or, you know, fatigue, I think that's finally setting in for a lot of people, even myself, of course. But it's not just that. There is, at least from Hollywood, so many dramas and comedies that are just burdened with off-camera drama, off-camera baggage. They because of how vested I am in a director, a writer, or an actor, actress, there's already weight to whatever project they've got coming up. Someone had asked in our Discord, Zeb, I think it was, about Bullet Train, which looked hilarious, looked fun, looked great in trailers. But I never sat down and watched it because it's like, I don't want to have to deal with all of the stuff that goes into all of those actors that you see there. And that's not me harping on anyone's personal lives or choices. It's the fact that all of that's in my brain, you know, 30, 40 years of more than that overall, but decades of movies I liked, movies I didn't, performances, other characters to compare against, and of course some off camera stuff. You know, you think about actors and actresses, writers, directors that have been accused of horrible things, whether proven in a court of law, settled out of court, whatever. You know, that all plays on me. And then you take the repetitiveness of remember this, remember that. You look at The Force Awakens, we all thought it was great to bring the original three back. I almost wish that none of the original three came back except for Fisher as a Jedi Master teaching Rey. That would have been better than what we got, or just Force Ghost Luke like they did in the Star Wars Legacy comics. Anything would have been better than the just like straight remember this, remember that. Ghostbusters Afterlife, you don't even use the original until the very, very, very end, and then the whole thing just feels weird because you've got a ghost Egon and Bill Murray phoning it in worse than he phoned in Ghostbusters 2. You've got all of the Marvel stuff going on to where it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm tired. Like I want more original stuff, but that also means it's got to have original people in it and making it now. I don't know. How do you feel? You watch a lot more Western, but I almost feel like a poser calling myself a film buff because the movies I should be watching, like Bullet Train, I don't want to put in the effort.
Well, I watch everything.
So. I know, so I'm, and I hear you complain about a lot of the same things that I've just complained about. How do you keep going with it? Well, how are you not burned out?
Because every film is a different canvas. Every project has the potential to be something special for a variety of reasons. A movie can have a terrible plot, but at the same time, the effects in it are going to be beautiful.
Yep.
Zack Snyder's films are synonymous for that, for looking amazing.
Look,
but
great.
But storytelling is like, what are we trash. Doing here, guys? so there's that, and then there's really, really great stories like Nomadland, what's it called? Something like that. It's an Oscar winner. But it's boring. but it's a very compelling story, and I understand. And everything in between. And then you have your Capri Suns of movies, which the Marvel movies for the most part are, because they have the same exact mold every single time. And I think that's what directors sometimes like a Scorsese or even like a Quentin Tarantino are saying that there's no risk to them, there's no originality, there's no
yes and no
there's no like a Tarantino,
not anymore, not
yes, yeah, okay, 13, not, yeah, 14 okay, years not anymore, in, yeah. But an Iron Man was a risk, yeah. Absolutely. A Thor in the beginning,
Guardians was a risk.
And Guardians after, was a huge risk, yes.
And then after establishing that type of tone, doing Winter Soldier was a risk in a way, to go back to this really gritty spy. We're not even, most of the people here don't have, you know, superpowers other than Cap's ability to take a lot of damage and Bucky.
And since then, we haven't a movie like it.
No, we haven't. And although I will say still, Endgame is an event that I am so happy to have experienced.
Oh, yeah, of
course. And I don't think there's anything ever that could make me feel the way I felt in the theater that day.
I 100% agree with you. That was a moment. Just like the Avengers first coming together in New York was a moment. Yep. So I'm not I'm like I'm I'm not knocking those films. I'm saying really the now.
Yeah.
It's like they don't really have to try.
Mm-mm.
They get honestly like a phone. Yeah, they phone it in. But I think that the majority of the audience is smart enough to figure that out, and which is what's going on now. But now you have little tropes, little excuses that you can drop in there. Sexism and you hate these characters because of their sexuality, because they're women, because they're minorities. And instead of focusing on the real issues of the film or the TV show, and this is not just Marvel I'm talking about, but yeah. they did that really well with a couple of their projects. Is you're blaming a social issue rather than the film itself or the TV show of why people didn't like it.
If we didn't love every moment of She-Hulk, we were sexist pigs.
Right. Exactly. Anywho.
Despite the show being completely toxic and showing all males as complete and utter garbage or just for comedic relief. And we used to say that telling females negative things about themselves via TV was harmful to them, but it's okay to do it to dudes because it was done to feel. So it's okay to complete and not only, you know, screw over and shit all over a generation of young men, boys, whatever, but then also showing a whole generation of young women, girls that, hey, men are trash. You shouldn't have mm-hmm. any expectations. And like, and I'm not one that believes in that being as pervasive through the culture as some, but I do believe it does have an effect on some people within society. My point is the hypocrisy of it's hate hypocrisy.
So, and then I felt like Bros was another one of those where it was like, oh, you guys are just anti LGBTQ. It's like, no, man. Like, did you just see what like Strange World did, or like the Welcome to Paradise?
The other rom-com.
It's like, first of all, you released it at the wrong time. This is not a movie you released during Halloween, and then it's
not a genre for theaters anymore.
These movies do a lot better on Amazon Prime and things like that. And I'm
sorry. Spring Break was a rom-com with a sci-fi twist, and it did real well for Netflix or Hulu.
Because they're not expensive to make. They're very, very cheap to make. So I think you can afford to really put them on one of these platforms, and they're going to do fine. But I think that I hope that there's a bubble that'll burst soon. And unfortunately, it is going to be Marvel and Star Wars to burst it, that people will get tired of it, of really the same thing over and over again. And they just don't want to hear it right now, of course. But none of the, like, is it cool to see these characters? Yes. That I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
Wakanda Forever may be an exception, but it had emotional baggage with it.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But tell me what's special about, like, and I really love Moon Knight for different reasons, but tell me what's so special about any of these shows that makes it really stand out. And then compare that to, and like, yeah, they're all gun projects too, but whatever. Guardians of the Galaxy is one of them. Peacemaker, for example. I'd even put up Pennyworth, what they were doing with Epix, where they, Joker is actually a really good example of it just trying to be different, a little bit original, with using the same properties, trying to make a film, you know, something that was inspired by something you loved. In this case, it was like Taxi Driver and mm-hmm. King of Comedy. But we've seen it. We saw it with Andor. If it doesn't have the flashy lightsaber and the nostalgia, despite the story, despite it actually being really good, I still think it could have been two episodes shorter. It's bad. If Luke Skywalker or Obi-Wan isn't doing the little ninja flip things and Or if we don't have the rebel guy doing the weird random 360 turn and then shooting, it's like I don't know. We're at a current spot in cinema where
the expectations are so low and the studios are meeting just that.
Yes, exactly. that why do you think most everyone has to go back to the 80s and 90s for their favorite films?
Yeah,
because they're not making films like that currently.
Well, I mean, you and I have asked before, where are this generation's instant holiday classic? Where's their home alone, if you will? The closest thing I could come up with was The Grinch, which we do love. Illumination's The Grinch from a few years ago.
Didn't even like that very much.
Oh, I love that's a great Christmas. That's one of our yearly ones now, but it's been a long time. All of our other yearly ones are older things like Home Alone or Nightmare Before Christmas, which you can watch Halloween or Christmas time. You've got National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Scrooged with Bill Murray, The Santa Claus. You know, you got the Santa Clauses out on Disney Plus now. But where is this generation's Goonies? Where's this, even on the cartoon side, where's this generation's Rugrats or Ren and Stimpy even? The best thing that I know from this current generation is Amazing World of Gumball.
There's some shows. Adventure Time is another one. That's pretty good.
That's more like the tail end of millennials, though, dude.
That was right.
Yeah, that was like on TV when you and I were finishing high school and stuff like that, or just fresh out of it. Like,
well, I mean,
that stuff goes back a while.
Well, you see what's happening with animation studios too; they're changing. It's different, and it's funny because like DreamWorks changed their intro logo.
Yeah,
and they have all their older projects.
Yep.
So I don't know, like it's I have a different point of view just because we'll go watch the indie movies that are out just one weekend. Like, I'm pretty sure most people, like, if people ask me what is like top three Nicolas Cage films, of course A National Treasure is one of them. Gone in 60 Seconds is just fun.
I love Gone in 60 Seconds.
And Pig. And then there's a movie he recently did called Pig.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal, but nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah. I heard of it.
Well, you have, yeah. Because I was screaming about it for a while. everyone's going to go see. And like, I'm coming from this from a very, just like an outside view, not saying that I don't enjoy it. Because my daughter and I are very much excited for the next Ant-Man film, because we love the characters. But what really are we gonna get? Like, that's really the question. But I know how it'll land. but what really? Even with like a Black Panther, like we knew how the movie was gonna progress, and we had a general idea what was gonna happen.
Yeah,
and there was literally no surprise to anything that happened.
Well, I mean, like, I seen the leaks, and after the trailer, I'm pretty damn confident the Quantumania leaks are spot on. After that trailer we got a month or so ago,
yeah. So there's nothing, and then what's Disney also doing? Disenchanted, Hocus Pocus 2, The Santa Clauses. These are regurgitations of older projects that are meant to just feed off of the nostalgia that they believe everybody wants and everybody thinks they want.
Appropriating my decades.
The
80s and 90s are mine.
And so what happened? Like, so nothing, like, we're not getting anything original. I just do
via anime.
Well, we do. But nobody goes to watch those films.
Yeah,
I do.
And so, again, it goes back to my whole point about being burned out on a lot of Western stuff and not just the comic book movie aspects. Like I said, Bullet Train, that's a movie I should have... I mean, I've seen Smoking Aces a few times. Like, I dig
quirky
action flicks.
Lock,
like
Stock,
that.
And Barrel?
Yes, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. Guy Ritchie films are used to be amazing. you know, and Vinnie Jones, man, who just does... Put Vinnie Jones on screen. He's like my favorite part of Eurotrip, even. You know, where he's playing the drunk... Manchester United hooligan. he's a great character, and he was in Gone in 60 Seconds as Sphinx. I am a freaking film buff, but I'm
because
just
because you watch violent films.
Well, no, just the fact that I can connect, you know, Vinnie Jones across all of those films and stuff like that.
You only need to connect Kevin Bacon.
Right? You can't run from me, Bacon.
No, you never heard of the 10 steps to Kevin Bacon?
No, I know. Okay. I know, and I just connected him to Guardians of the Galaxy there. That's like my favorite line in the holiday special. You can't run from me, Bacon. But again, because I know the writers, the directors, the actors, were they in a preachy movie? Did they do something off camera? Are they jerks? Like, have we learned via interviews and stuff that they're jerk? Like, all of that stuff starts weighing on you to where it's like Tom Cruise, man. Like, I have no interest in ever watching anything Tom Cruise has done since War of the Worlds. I just don't. And it's not that War of the Worlds was bad. It's just the last movie that I saw with him, like in theaters and stuff. And I don't like the guy. There's too much baggage with him. And I'm not a fan of Mission Impossible. So I haven't watched any of those since the second one was, I saw the first one, enjoyed it. Second one was trash. And I was like, no, I'm done. I don't
Even
like
more
Tom
Mission
Cruise.
Impossible.
So
I love Tom Cruise.
But that, you know, like I'm saying when it comes to, if you put something out that has less known stuff, I'm wondering if I'm more, or people, I should say, people aren't stuff. Some people are, but I might be more inclined. But then again, I'm always going to be concerned. Well, what am I going to get here? You know, what am I going to be getting myself into? I don't know.
I want to be entertained. Yeah, and whether I've found enjoyment in everything, as far as at least to learn, okay, well, that's not what I want to watch, or that's not clever. Yeah. And you know, get more range at least with projects. The one other thing I'll say, and I think it'll I don't know who's gonna get frustrated first, whether it's fans or Marvel, is you notice that with every project that continues on in Phase 4, if there's not at least a mention of X-Men, people are like,
oh,
just crying.
To be fair, Marvel could solve that by coming out and confirming or denying the officially confirm or officially deny the whole have to wait until 2025 rumor that was going around because of contracts. I do think that them not coming out and kind of saying, and not here's a greenlit project, here's a title, here's nothing, just some sort of official stance on, I mean, that's what most people, let's not forget, it was one of the freaking hashtags back in the day of hashtag give the rights back to Marvel, was because of Foxman. Yeah, but now everybody's like, oh my God, I want my Hugh Jackman and my, who was the guy that played Scott Summers? I forget his name.
I don't remember.
Anyways,
they want their
crap back, you know?
I know what you're talking about.
You guys hated
about,
that.
Yeah,
why
because
do you want it back now?
Because it's nostalgia, and that's like we're talking about. That's all. As long as you have nostalgia, you can be lazy.
Yeah,
and that's really the whole point of it. That's what's going on with cinema right now. What was the top movie of the year? Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Nostalgia. It was a great movie though. Don't let me
Yeah, no, and it's a deep cut. We haven't had multiple. Top Gun franchises, spinoffs, or reboots. I will constantly remind people that it is okay to have the nostalgia moments. It's just the repetitiveness that is just soul crushing.
Top movie of the year was also Air Force Propaganda.
Navy.
Oh, Navy, sorry. Yeah. Well, they're fighting jets too, so.
I know, but the Navy's got their own planes because the carriers.
So. That's true. Carriers are dope. I've been on a carrier before.
Got a few that way.
Oh, no. Well, cuz in Alameda they have the USS Hornet as a museum.
Oh, no. I think there's two or three in dock right now of active. I know the Ford just came back from deployment, and I think
is here as well.
I live very close to the largest military naval base in the world. Like we are on Russia and China and North Korea's like nuke list. Like we're one of the top because of what's sitting just a couple miles down the road from me. The nuclear subs, the aircraft carriers, missile destroyers, the cruisers, like, dude, I mean, it's huge. Anyways, guys, we need to wrap it up right there. It was a great conversation. That's what I like about the Daily Cog and working with Manny is, one, we're not beholden to any agenda other than our own, and we can actually fill time with entertainment movie related conversations on slow news days. When it's not a slow news day, or even if it is and you want to check out some things like comic book reviews, celebrity interviews, of course the latest in news leaks and rumors, even some speaking of nostalgia, the retrospects series from Mark Cook. I've written a few of those where you can take a trip down memory lane. Check out the website lrmonline.com for all of that. Daily Cog, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, The Cantina, Breaking Geek, AVR, all go up on your favorite podcast apps wherever you get your podcast from. Give us a follow, and if you use Apple, leave us a review if you don't mind. Hit that 4 or 5 stars or 1. Let us know in the comments why you gave us that rating. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you get all of those in video format, plus AVR Squared Anime Reactions and Genre Shot trailer reactions. That's it. Manny, anything else you want to say?
Just keep in touch at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter and at @RealMovies_510. Jason and I of the Comic Source will be at LA Comic Con this weekend, and we will be updating you throughout the weekend. They're having an anniversary or reunion of Jimmy Neutron, which is going to be fun. Frodo and Sam are going to be there also from Lord of the Rings. Without Sam, there is no Frodo, as my girlfriend would say. And so we're doing our best to secure interviews with creators and things like that. Also, they're going to have a larger gaming presence there, which we will be checking out too. So we'll see. They're expecting over 140,000 people. I will probably get sick, but here we go. It'll be fun. It'll be a good time. Tomorrow, or next show, whatever.
Is our 200th.
I do want to talk about something kind of fun, which is and this is kind of a tease, should Universal tease Marvel Studios with their own Hulk and Namor projects?
Game of chicken.
very nefarious thoughts. That's what I'll say.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, tomorrow will be our 200th episode. For those of you that are still listening, I'll be switching out the legacy and new run numbers, very comic book style. I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.